How dare you judge me? Sometimes we go to church and we hear all this judgment going on and other people saying this and that. And sometimes we just want to be with God by ourselves. This week's episode of Inverse addresses this. Join us as we study the final chapters of Romans. Hey everyone, welcome to Inverse. We are on our final episode of this quarter. We have spent the entire, several months studying the book of Romans, and we are in chapters 14 through 16. This is one of the most practical parts of the book of Romans. We've gone through an entire journey of theology and group splitting and a lot of history, and now here we are at the final chapter. So we're going to have a word of prayer. Callie, bring us to the throne of grace, and then we're going to have a reading of the Bible verse, and then we're going to get into our discussion.
Yes, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your word, and we thank you that you desire to speak to us even more than we desire to be spoken to. We pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit now, that he would fill our hearts and minds and this place, and that you would be the one that speaks. Guide us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's been quite a journey, hasn't it? We've gone through, and you guys have been in and out and in and out. And Romans, as a lot of Paul's letters, he goes through a lot of theory, a lot of theology for the first half. And the second half, a lot of practical stuff. And sometimes we like the practical stuff. We want the little fortune cookie, and we want the little, like, do this. Okay, I'll do that. And we want to do that. And so we can kind of parse out what we like in these last chapters. So Siku, chapter 14, and let's read from verses 1 through 4.
Yeah. Okay. Romans 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? Mm. To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand.
Okay, so Jared, let me ask you this question. What is this passage talking about? It's talking about
vegetables.
You know, and there are a lot of Christian denominations out there, and also a lot of non-Christian denominations out there that are vegetarian. Is this blasting vegetarianism? Should we be oxygenarians, fruitarians, meatarians? Should we be carnivores? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, full disclosure. What's an oxygenarian? Let's get that out of the way.
They breathe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Jared, what were you saying?
All right, so just putting this in the context, right?
Yes.
A lot of talk, not only this time around, but before we studied Galatians, tension between Jew and Gentile.
Okay.
How mission works in the Gentile world, how Gentiles relate to Jewish customs, and is that a big deal? And what we're seeing here is growing pains in the church. There's a whole controversy over not clean and unclean in terms of Leviticus, like these are things that God said to eat definitively. These are things that God didn't say to eat definitively. And by the way, that distinction goes back even before the Hebrews, back to Noah. So that's not what Paul's talking about. That's not a doubtful thing in verse 1. That's that's a concrete thing. Mm-hmm. But as the gospel spreading into areas where, you know, in meat markets, you might come into contact with something that was sacrificed to a pagan deity. After all, if I'm a butcher and I'm going to sacrifice something, I might as well get some merit from, you know, from doing, you know, sacrificing an animal or whatever, and then I'd sell the meat. And Christians were like, well, this is a pagan deity. I can't eat this. So they were refraining from any meats in the market, eating only vegetables. And Paul is basically arguing for conscience here. Anyway, there's a more context.
So this context is not talking about clean and unclean meats. We see that there's a lot of laws in the Old Testament, and a lot of them have been done away in Christ. And we see that a lot of the laws, there was something that you did that made you unclean, and then through a ritual you would do that, and now you would be made clean. Yeah. So Jesus fulfills all of that. So all these things about touching a dead body, and then the whole you know, once in a month thing, all that stuff. And then you do this ritual, and then you become clean. Yeah? But in Christ, all those things have been done away with. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But there's one set of laws, dietary laws, that there's nothing you could do to make these clean, unclean animals clean.
Yeah, and just for the record, these aren't ceremonial laws. These are laws that God has given humanity because he says, I want you to be healthy, I want you to be happy, I want you to be whole. And science, by the way, has borne out, like, pork fat is one of the worst things you can eat. Bacon, especially how we treat it with nitrates and nitrites, is one of the worst thing. Processed meats, actually, in general. But these are things that God has said.
So this is not talking anything about clean and unclean meats. Yeah, people use this passage to be like, I want to eat my muskrat. I want to eat my, you know, zebra toe, whatever it is that they got to eat.
So the
passage here is talking about idols. Yeah, and idol meats. Okay, so that's one thing he takes. Okay, so Jared, can you read from verse 5 to verse 7?
Okay, same issue, but a different issue. Mm-hmm. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, does not eat and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself.
Mm-hmm. So, Kelly, what is the context of this? Is he talking about Sabbath keeping here? Is he talking about which day you should worship on? Or is there a larger goal? And then, let me ask that question. I'll get to the second question.
Well, I think in the same way you're talking about, you know, the different kind of eating, this is also, you know, there are some people that were still keeping certain holidays or certain...
Feast days.
Thank you.
Holidays, feast days,
same. Yeah, feast days. Yes. So, you know, sometimes people can, you know, I'll say the obvious, people go like, oh, this means the Sabbath doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's like there were a lot more important days to the Jews. It wasn't just the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the day all the time, but there were other days. And people saying, okay, well, I'm still a Jew. Yeah, Jesus did away with the law, but... I mean, I still celebrate this feast day because it's important to me. And so some people were holding on to that versus others were like, I mean, Jesus ended all that, so I don't know why you're doing that. Mm-hmm. And people were judging each other for that.
Mm-hmm. So they were judging each other. So now this is a very interesting passage, yeah? Mm-hmm. If we're not careful, we're going to be like, Paul's just talking about these small little issues, but he's not, okay? Yeah. So second question, what does vegetarian, or not vegetarian, the unclean meats thing, and then the whole feast day thing, holiday thing, why does he talk about those two? Siku, bring those two things together. What is the larger principle that he's bringing about these two nitpicking these little issues?
Well, the thing that I see that combines both of them and other issues that would come up is really what he says in verse 1.
Verse 1.
Is about disputes over doubtful things.
Uh-huh.
So the similarity between these issues is that there is no definitive, do this, don't do this. Mm-hmm. It's an area where, you know.
It's doubtful.
Yeah, it's doubtful. But the principle behind it, the principle behind what you should do, he says in verse 7, none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself. For why? In verse 8, for if we live, we live to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So at the end of the day, it's about your goal is to preserve a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So even in these doubtful things, I have a question. Okay, so do I eat this meat or do I not eat this meat? The question that I need to be asking is, how does this contribute to my relationship with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and this checklist.
Right, yeah, not a checklist. Because this is that's that area where it has to do with how is this going to advance my connection with God. Music, what should I listen to? What should I not listen to? Should I listen to this particular song? Should I, you know, while Justin listens to it, but should I, you know? Mm-hmm. For me, is this song actually going to help me grow in my relationship with God? Mm-hmm. There's nothing objectively questionable about it. Mm-hmm. But how does it contribute to that relationship with God?
Yeah, the principle is found in verse 17 later on. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But he also goes one step further, saying, when we do these things, it's not really for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, we actually are in this social interconnected web. And whatever I do impacts someone else. And let's go to Jared, can you read verse 12 and 13 for us?
Yes. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another. anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way.
And then Callie, can you read chapter 15, verses 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification.
Okay, so there's a lot of other issues going on, and rather than nitpicking and looking at what the issues are, he's using them as examples. And what's the larger principle that emerges out of this? What's he saying?
I was going to say, to follow up with there's the element of my relationship with Jesus, but there's also the element of, fine, I can do this, and it's fine in terms of my relationship with Jesus, but maybe it actually causes somebody else to falter in their relationship with Jesus. And there's a sense of accountability for each other where it's not just about me. Well, me and Jesus were cool, so, you know, who cares about everybody else? It also matters that the way that I behave is going to impact Callie. It's going to impact her relationship with Christ, too. So even though there's nothing objectively wrong per se with what I'm doing, if it's going to cause Callie to stumble, then I need to revisit whether I should be doing that or not.
And I love this. Does this happen today? Does this happen where are there strong and weak brothers and sisters in the church? And what do you all see happening in your immediate context?
Can I share a story?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just thinking of applying this, and I was not a Christian when this happened, but I was working in a health food store. There were certain supplements that I took to relax or to help me sleep or whatever. One of them, this is in a natural food store here in the United States, and I would get these little tablets of kava kava. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that stuff. It's like valerian root or other things that you take as a natural supplement.
I've never done drugs.
Yeah, well, this is... anyway, I would take some of these things. And it was just kind of like a medicinal thing.
Okay.
So I traveled to the Fiji Islands. I was privileged to be able to spend a fair bit of time there. And there were some Christians there who found out I was getting some kava kava. In the United States, it was very expensive. Over there, I got like a kilo for like $10 or something like that. Yeah, so I'm bringing a kilo of white powder back to the United States. Anyway, I brought it back because I had friends, in the natural food store. This is getting going.
It's spiraling now.
No, but here's the thing. This is a natural supplement, like you would take echinacea for your immune system or anything else.
Grows from the ground.
We trust you.
Grows from the ground.
Dry it. Okay. You can do whatever you want it off.
Yeah. No. But I purchased this. What I didn't realize is they use this, they abuse it. And they were like clearing out like lands for their crops and everything else, and they would plant this stuff, and they would take it, they'd grind it up, they would drink it and have these ceremonies, and they would drink it into the night to the point where, like any other drug, it was being abused. So people found out I was getting this. I'm like, this is medicine, this is no big deal. And they're like, this is a drug. Like, you're contributing to the downfall of society.
Yeah, Jared, hold that thought. We're going to find out if Jared is a drug dealer, if he's still if he's addicted to these things. We're in suspense here, so you don't want to miss this. We'll see you after the break. Hey, welcome back. I don't know about you, but that was a long break. I really want to know what happens to Jared after this cavacada. Cavacava?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened to you and your drug incident here?
Yeah, well, I brought it back, and I shared it with some of my naturopath friends, and they knew the value of this in terms of using it as a supplement. But my whole point was, if I would have known, okay, number one, there were social issues because of the abuse of this thing, okay? Number two, there was a real stigma, especially in their Christian community. I wasn't really practicing, but I offended them, and it looked to me like I should have known better. Mm-hmm. If I would have known, I would have not purchased that. And actually, I wrote a postcard, and I sent it, and they read the postcard that I sent out, and it created kind of a big deal. And I was just thinking, if I would have known better, I wouldn't even have messed with that. I don't want to cause anyone else to stumble. Mm-hmm. But in my view, this is like medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Over there, this is something that was abused. So I cause them to stumble. And Paul applies that to mm-hmm. whether you're feast keeping or whatever, realize mm-hmm. that there are people that have sensitive consciences towards these things. Whether mm-hmm. you're eating meat in the market, and you know what? If it was sacrificed to an idol, what's an idol anyway? It's a stone thing or a wood. Yeah, these aren't gods. So, but be sensitive to people who have a sensitive conscience and don't put a stumbling block them.
I think it's possible to offend without knowing, you know.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
But I think his point is that when you know, there's a problem if you don't care. It's like, well, it's not a big deal for me, yeah. So like,
who cares?
Cares
about you?
Yeah.
And you're held accountable for that, you know that, and you're doing mm-hmm. it and offending the person. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think about even the opposite side of that. So I'm the person being offended versus I'm the weaker brother in this perspective.
Okay.
Of, you know, when I was in high school, I listened to a lot of ungodly music. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's still in my brain. Those kinds of musics, those kinds of genres are still in my mind. Mm-hmm. So I hear certain kinds of Christian music, and I'm like, that just reminds me of worldly music, and that brings all the words that I don't want in my brain and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I was hanging out with a friend who listens to this kind of music. Now, they're very godly lyrics, but the style is just not good for me. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, can we just not listen to this? And she's like, why? Do you think it's bad? I'm like, yeah, kind of, mm-hmm. but like for me, but I'm not saying, not you, just me. But it's just, yeah, it's a doubtful thing. Like, oh, if it has this kind of syncopation, that means it's of the devil. Like, well, I don't really know that. Sure. I just know it puts my mind in an ungodly place. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, I also know other friends who they won't go to supermarkets because they can hear the music there. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't listen to it at all. So we're all different levels, as it were. But the point is, you know, this person did stop listening to that music around me because it was a stumbling block to me mm-hmm. because of my past. It did nothing wrong for her, but it was for me. Mm-hmm.
Like the verse in chapter 14 verses 15 and 16,
14,
I think.
15 and 16.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That encapsulates this thing. It says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken off as evil. Don't yeah. let your good be evil. So even you may be doing it because you think it's a good thing, you're trying to listen to good music,
yeah.
but your good ends up being evil spoken of because you knowingly you're causing your brother to stumble and you're no longer walking in love. Mm-hmm. So that is, you're missing the whole point of what it means being a Christian. Mm-hmm. You're not being like Christ
mm-hmm.
in that sense.
Here's one story that I had that this was totally unknowingly I was offending another sister. I was a speaker somewhere, and after speaking, a little boy comes up to me, opens his book, and asks for my autograph, right? So I sign it, right? And then he closes it, and he goes away. And you're laughing, and then I think you're
he autographed a Bible.
You're not, no, his
his notes. I was like, for what?
So she's the weaker sister here, and she's assuming all these things.
You're making me stumble right now.
Oh, someone saw that. Mm-hmm. Someone saw that, and they're like, and I didn't acknowledge the kid. The kid didn't acknowledge me, and I just kind of like, and I just, it was just a
like a superstar,
whatever. Yeah. And she's like, do you think you're all that? Do you think you're using the gospel to propagate your fame and pride? And I'm think, what are you talking about? You just gave your autograph and you just wrote the kid off, and there was a lot of
indignation.
I want to say holy fervor, but I don't know. It was very.
How dare you?
It was, yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't want to dwell too much on that. And what I asked the Lord for, Lord, give me the mantle of Christ to convey the right spirit. So in Korea, I don't know if you know, but a lot of kids on Sabbath, if they go to a Seventh-day Adventist school, they need to go to a Seventh-day Adventist worship on Sabbath. And to get credit for it, they need to go to the preacher and get a signature from them. It has nothing. The kid didn't even know me. He doesn't, whatever. These were assumptions that the person watching the entire scenario imposed upon the scenario, and it discouraged her. Right?
Yeah.
So I was explaining, like, look, this is part of the Korean culture. I'm just giving him credit. He knows the system. I know the system. We're all good. I'm not a superstar or whatever, whatever. And she was just mortified that she fell that way. Mm-hmm. Right? And I could have, in my arrogance, be like, yeah, well, feel it and just let her. But I went above and beyond to sympathize. I'm like, hey, it's a total misunderstanding. I totally see how you can misunderstood. Now, here's the thing. I think we need to, in our Christian experience, sometimes we think it's just between me and Jesus. If they judge me, that's their problem. If they are in a tiff, that's their problem. But no, Paul is saying, yeah, these things happen, and as much as we can, obviously we can't do it 100%, but we are responsible, and we should try to find ways to promote this kind of fellowship.
And I think, you know, there is that balance, because there is like, well, then it matters what everyone thinks, why should I just be hypervigilant and paranoid? Like, well, no, not that.
Right.
But being, you know, to Siku's point, you can't know if, like, you wouldn't have known if she would have told you. You wouldn't have gone to, like, did this offend you? Did this offend you? Mm. Like, that's obnoxious. Don't do that. Right. But being aware and being humble and being like, okay, I know I'm in the right now, but Jesus, help me to convey it, you know, well. And so, Lord, help me to be aware, but help me not be paranoid. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the person we are most responsible to is God. Mm-hmm. And so if God allows us or tells us to do something, someone's like, well, that offends me. It's like, well, I mean, God told me.
And even in that paranoia, sometimes we have to really ask ourselves, am I doing this out of to mimic and imitate Jesus? Or am I so self-centered that I'm preserving self? Yeah. It gets kind of...
Yeah, and to speak to that in chapter 15, the first
15.
Verses,
yes.
There's a word that shows up over and over. He says, we who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. Mm-hmm. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification.
Mm-hmm. For his good.
For even Christ did not please himself. Mm-hmm. And this notion of Jesus, the way that he lived his life, wasn't for self. It wasn't for self-preservation or to look good or to appear to be a certain way. His goal wasn't to please himself. His goal was actually, he was others-focused. And so he's saying we ought to be that kind of person. So yes, my primary goal is to preserve this relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. But what comes out of that relationship with Jesus is a desire to make sure that other people are taken care of as well. My goal is for them.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, what we've been talking about earlier, right? Jesus became human, came down to our level. He is much superior, much better, much everything more, but he came down to serve us, his weaker brethren. And so Jesus is simply saying, do what I did.
Yeah. Well, let's take that and let's broaden it. So we've been studying Romans, right? And in Romans, we got into about 1 through 8 chapters about just really crazy, hardcore theology, theory, and
system of salvation, how we experience it.
And then 9 through 11 was Israel and the Gentiles and that thing. And then he concludes on this, okay? Mm-hmm. So I love your answer, but let's make it real. What's the flow in that? Why does he do this and then this and then, hey, be nice to each other? Is that just kind of like a whipped cream kind of saccharine finish, or is there a flow to the entire book of Romans? Siku, you're nodding.
I think it's a natural outflow of what happens in the theology that he's been developing. Mm-hmm. If you have seen the goodness of God, you know, if you've seen the way that Jesus has treated, if you see that Jesus came to save me when I didn't deserve it, I didn't do anything to deserve it. And
We were uncircumcised,
right,
while we were sinners, we can go the whole quarter.
And when I see that Jesus has treated me that way, how does it impact the way that I treat other people? Yeah. How does it impact the way that I treat people that I consider to be weaker?
Yeah.
You're weak.
Yeah. You know, how do you treat the weak sauce, right? Like, what he's saying is a natural outflow of an experience with Jesus is it impacts the way you treat other people. Yeah. And when you don't treat other people in that way, he's saying that you're letting your good be evil spoken of. You're no longer walking in love. Mm-hmm. You're claiming you're a Christian. I'm justified by faith, etc. But if you can't treat your brothers, your sisters in a certain way, then your life testifies to the opposite. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about this is that we got into a lot of theology, but theology always has something practical at the end. You know, if we just talk about the imputation and the reckoning of the justification and blah, 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 all these long words, and then that was great theological exercise, then what is the point of it all at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm. Justin, we've talked a lot about, and I think by default we think in terms of the stronger one to the weaker one. And yes, we extend grace, and people who may not, you know, completely have maybe an educated conscience, and they're very sensitive to certain things. But I'm just thinking here, what about the weaker brother? What about the weaker brother? And the words of the Apostle Paul come back to me, which he's written in another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he says, love is not easily provoked, right? It doesn't think evil. It doesn't think that when Justin's getting a signature that he's somehow thinking more of himself than he actually is. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And that means that if I see somebody doing something and I'm easily offended, as my Christian responsibility is to say, you know what? I'm going to pray for them, but you know what? I'm going to believe that this could be a misunderstanding, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And that's Christian grace that we can extend to everyone. And if we did that, if we're walking in love and our good is not being evil spoken of, then it would clarify so many challenges.
I think that's so much that giving the benefit of the doubt, maybe even if her coming to Justin saying, hey, I have a question, instead of being like, you superstar guy who's full of yourself, like you're kind of getting at the same thing, but way different methods. Mm-hmm. So we can come and ask and learn from each other, but a question is a lot different than an accusation.
Yeah. This is a beautiful conversation we've had. And whether you're the stronger one or whether you're the weaker one, we all have something to learn from the example of Christ. Yeah. And this has been a beautiful study on the book of Romans. At the end of the day, the takeaway that I get from this is like, I love God. God has just gone above and beyond and then some more for me. And it's my duty and through the strength and power of God for me to go above and beyond for my weaker brother as well. That's my prayer. That's the prayer for all of our panelists here. Hopefully you've been blessed by our study in the book of Romans. God bless you guys. And we'll see you on the next episode of Inverse.